Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's a very busy morning, Slichos morning. It's a very busy morning here in Yeshiva with our Chanukah Sabayis happening. It's a very busy morning, really a third reason, which actually the Yeshiva Rabbi Luban touched upon in his Divrei Yisoros before Slichos. Today marks the 90th Yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. And in the world in general, we all owe a tremendous hakaras hatov to the Chafetz Chaim, as we'll soon speak about what the Chafetz Chaim did for the Torah world is in many ways beyond compare. His Sefer Mishabrua has become the foundational sefer in halacha across all boundaries. Ashkenazim, Sephardim, so I'm going to have a Mishabrua that will have some Sukkim from Sephardic Poskim also. Yeah, and Bnei Brak will have a Mishabrua that has the Chazanish Sukkim too. But all in all, Mishabrua became such an integral sefer, not just the sefer Mishabrua. Other Sephardim from the Chafetz Chaim was particularly the sefer that he was well known for. First sefer he wrote, Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And today's shir, being the fact I realize it's going to come out on the Chafetz Chaim's Yahrzeit, not just any Yahrzeit, number 90, I decided to talk about a topic which involves very much the Chafetz Chaim, really the writing of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And we entitled the shir, The Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Saul Salanter, A Dispute Before the Yamin Noraim. So it's not just something about the Chafetz Chaim, also involving Rabbi Saul Salanter. It's very relevant these days. A dispute before the Yamin Noraim. Now, as soon as I told the title, you know, some people in the know who know what this is referring to. Oh yeah, you're giving share on this topic. I'll explain in a moment what the topic is about. But I think to really get a perspective, we have to understand who the Chafetz Chaim was at the time he was writing his Sefer. I passed around a copy of the title page of the first printing of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Now, it's always great to, when you read a Sefer, to look at the title page of a Sefer. You can learn a lot from it. The title page of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, to be honest, I had to look around quite a bit. Many of the editions of the Chafetz Chaim today, when it gets republished, they make their own title page. And the original title page of the Sefer is nowhere to be found. Right, if you want to buy an original edition of Sefer Chafetz Chaim on some Gnazim auction, that'll cost you a pretty penny. Right, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But in this particular edition of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, they were kind enough within the Sefer to print the original title page. And there's a lot to learn from it. Let me just show you. If you look at this title page, usually the title page of a Sefer will tell you about the Sefer, the who, what, when, and where of a Sefer. And usually you'll find on the title page the name of the author. Well, guess what? Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the original edition, on the title page, does not say who wrote it. Right? It was not a typo.
It's a typo.
The Chafetz Chaim's name was Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan. You will not find on this title page any mention of his name, not even a remez to his name, not even his initials, nothing. There is no mention of the author of the Sefer. That's observation number one. Observation number two, if you look at the title page of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, first of all, it's printed in Vilna. Okay, we know the name actually of the printer, Rabbi Yehuda Leiv ben Eliezer Lipman. Okay. Months. We know the language they spoke in Vilna. I can't tell for sure, but it looks pretty Russian on the bottom of the Sefer. Right? Bottom half of the Sefer, which is not in Hebrew, which nowadays, you know, you don't find that so often on the title page of a Chashuv Sefer. Everything's in Hebrew. Here, the title page, no, the Chafetz Chaim in Russian. Some of that's what you needed to do in those days. But it also has the date. When was this Sefer published? The Sefer was published in the year 1873, which also makes it a round number this year, which means the Sefer was published 150 years ago this year. Now, one little simple observation, one little bit of math. If the Sefer was printed 150 years ago, and the Chafetz Chaim was nifter 90 years ago, we know that the Chafetz Chaim published the Sefer 60 years before he passed away. How old was the Chafetz Chaim when he passed away? Not known the exact age, but in his 90s. That means he published this Sefer in his 30s. Pashas, even his young 30s. That itself might be part of the reason why he was a young person. He didn't, you know, he was not well known. He said, let's keep it that way. And he published the Sefer anonymously. Now, if you're a young person, you're not even signing your name to the Sefer. It's a halachic Sefer. Sefer Chafetz Chaim is a halachic Sefer in the sense that, in a way that it was never written before. There was never a Sefer compiled of all the halachas on Hilchos Lashon Hara, the halachas of forbidden speech. Nobody published a Sefer anything like that. There were scattered Gemaras that talked about these topics. There were halachas, the Rishonim talked about these halachas, but no one ever compiled all the halachas together. Comes the Chafetz Chaim and says, look, I see there's a big problem. You ever read the introduction to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim? Such a powerful introduction. He talks about how, what's the Churban? Why don't we have a Beis HaMikdash? Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of hatred for another person. First and foremost, what's something that could bring about such hatred? It's Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim understands that if I want to change the tide, if I want to stop this big problem in Klal Yisrael of Sinas Chinam, a way to do that is I have to teach people about Lashon Hara. So he goes through this tremendous work, again, without precedent, of compiling the halachas in the Sefer. And it's a masterpiece. Today, we'll talk, you know, there are so many people that study the Sefer, and there are so many svarim written on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, with questions and answers and trying to derive where the Chafetz Chaim get this stuff from and that stuff from. He wrote this all in his young 30s. Okay. How do you get a Sefer like this accepted? Okay. So you did your work, put together a masterpiece.
Does it have the Skamas
on it? Oh, Alan's a smart man.
Because people won't read it without the Skamas.
The first step you need, especially if you're writing it without your name, is you need to have Haskamas. You need to have backings in the writing of your Sefer. Who's going to back you up? Now, here's the next step. The first step I told you is nobody publishes a title page. Want to hear the other step? Many editions of the Chafetz Chaim today publish it without the Haskamas. So you might argue,
they're not necessary
anymore. The whole world was masking to who the Chafetz Chaim was, so we don't need to see the Haskamas. Okay. it's still interesting to see the Haskamos of who wrote. So this edition that I happen to bring to the share today doesn't even have any of the Haskamos. You go through the Haskamos of who was written. To be honest, hey, you know, I know some history. I'm pretty good with Rabbanim. You flip through the names. I'm sorry. I don't know who these people are. But it's safe to say, if I don't know who these people are, probably most people in the room, most people listening, don't know who these people are who gave the Haskama to the Chafetz Chaim. One person I recognized was Betzal HaKon, who was the Av Beis Din of Vilna, which is where the Sefer was published. Okay, yes, him I heard of. Okay, there was some Rav in Novartik, probably the predecessor of the Aruch HaShulchan, who was later the Rav in Novartik. But most of the names I would not call or household names, that you just utter the name of the person and we know who's giving him Haskama. Yes?
So could that be a period in history where if people saw a name they didn't know, they wouldn't even bother opening it, but by not seeing a name, maybe they would open it?
No. I would think, you're talking about the name on the Sefer?
The name on the Sefer.
Yeah. The fact that people, if you look through the annals of Sfarim, which is all, you know, this is not a Sfarim blog share, but most Sfarim have authors' names. Most, Ruba Deruba, because think about it. Right? What's the Sefer worth in a certain sense if you're not gutsy enough to put your name out there? Right? Halach is debated. I'll say a Svara, but you can't ask me any questions about it. Right? That wouldn't stand in share. You have to defend your position. And okay, so there's some people that are not, you know, they're humble and they want to publish it. Okay, but you still have to have Haskamas, very much so. So there's a famous story, and this is recorded by the Chafetz Chaim's son. I have it in the middle of the page. The story is that the Chafetz Chaim, when he published the Sefer, went to the Gadol Hador, whose name we all know, Rav Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Musar movement. And he came to the Chafetz Chaim came to Rav Yisrael Salanter and asked him for Haskama for his Sefer. Now, if you actually look, it's a big rule. Nowadays, most Haskamas are not really Haskamas. Most Haskamas, if you actually read it, what the Rav says is, I'm too busy. I don't really have time to go through the Sefer. From the little bit that I saw, sometimes you'll get one like this. From the little bit I saw, it looks very good. That's a good Haskama. You know what the other ones are? I really have no time. I can't go through this, but I give the author a bracha. He should be successful. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Haskamas, most of them are the second type. And you have to know, when you read Haskama, just because it has a big name on top, read what he actually wrote. Right? Justice Shabbos.
This is a good book.
Right.
Nobody will see it.
Right.
See the name.
They just see the name on top. Recently, it's not a Sefer. It was about a certain project where I told my Shabbos Shabbos that, you know, I saw this person advertising this ungodol. You know, he has the backing of it. My father-in-law laughed. He says, that's not exactly true. Right? The Chafetz Chaim, you know, one Sefer, he didn't fully write, but definitely something he was very mocked on is MS. Yeah. That's the Sefer. You're writing a Sefer in MS. You want to make sure your Haskamas are exact, what it says there. So he went to Rabbi Sol Salanter. Yeah.
Nobody would read it.
Yeah. So the Chafetz Chaim went to Rabbi Sol Salanter to give him Haskama. Rabbi Sol Salanter didn't just say, I'm busy founding a Musar movement. I don't have time to read your Sefer, which I'm sure he was very busy. But he took it as a very big point. And he went through the Sefer. He went through it well. To the extent, I'll first tell you the positive point he said about the Sefer. It's written in the Sefer Torah Savram that after the Chafetz Chaim published the Sefer, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was talking to Talmidim. He says, such an amazing thing. We really need to learn be'ion in depth halachos that involve Bein Amon Chavero. not just classic Bein Alma L'Makom, Hilchas Tefila, we'll have an Arachayim, Hilchas Kashras, we'll have an Yeridea, marriage issues, Evan Ezer, monetary issues, Choshen Mishpat. We also need Svarim written on Bein Alma Chavera. Can I say this about you? Can I not say this about you? What do I do if I insulted you? That's Sefer Chofetz Chaim. But he says we also need on MS, Rabbi Saul Salanter said. But he was so taken aback by the Chofetz Chaim Sefer, says such a wonderful Sefer in general, that he told Talmidim, the Chofetz Chaim published his Sefer, now I want you to write a Sefer on MS, you to write a Sefer on Bittul Torah, all different topics which aren't covered. Let's do those. So the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael, though despite his praise, which he told Talmidim about the Sefer, he came back to the Chofetz Chaim, or the Chofetz Chaim asked him, okay? He says, I can't give you a haskama. What about this halacha? There was one particular halacha he found in the Sefer, which he did not think the Chofetz Chaim was correct. And he took him to task over it. For the record, the Chofetz Chaim has it in the Sefer. He didn't remove it. But Rabbi Yisrael believed that halacha was untrue. And I believe, and the story has it that because of that, he did not get a haskama. Today's shir, we're going to be discussing that halacha. The Chofetz Chaim and Rabbi Saul Salanter, a dispute before the Yom Ha'Noraim. So here's the halacha. You have on top of your page, this is in the middle of Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Klal Dalid, Sif Yud Beis. The halacha reads the following, and it's one line in particular in this halacha that the Chofetz, that Rabbi Saul Salanter had a problem with. Chofetz Chaim writes, "Vim avar v'sipa lashon hara chaveru." If you spoke lashon hara about someone else, you know, we all do, unfortunately. Uba lasas tshuva, and you want to do tshuva. Talya bazeh. Im hashomim dolchus dvarav. If people didn't believe what you said, v'neskana chaveru idei zebek. People didn't believe what you said, and no one looked down on the person because of the negative speech that you said. If you didn't hurt the person, there's really two aspects every time you speak Lashon Hara. There's an Avera Ben Amal Chaver, you're hurting another Jew. So if the person didn't get hurt, people didn't really accept what you said, people didn't look down on the person, so then you didn't hurt him. The only Aveira you did was Bein Alma Makom. Hashem said, don't speak Lashon Hara. So he explains, the Hainusha Avar Ratzon Hashem Shetziva Alzeh, Kamor Shekzaz Velo Pesicha, Tiknu, so what is the tshuva you should do? Sheyizcharid Al Sha'avar, you should have remorse on what you did in the past, V'yizvada, and you should say Vidoy, like we did this morning after Slichos, V'kabal Atzma, Lev Shom, Al Abba, Shalva Kain, and do tshuva. The tshuva is, I'm mekabel in the future not to do this anymore. This is the same procedure you do by any avera, a person with nechshel, b'shogeg, let's say, and shmir Shabbos. So, okay, you need charata, you need vidoy, you need kabbalah asid. And with that, you have tshuva. But what happens if you said a juicy piece of Lashon Hara? Again, Lashon Hara is even if you say something which is true. I said something true about someone else, but it's negative. And because of that, people look down on my friend. And he got some physical damage or monetary damage. Or he was pained by it. Psychological pain is also damage. This is like any other avera that you do to a fellow man, shafil yom kippurim, yom misa, even yom kippur, or a person going through the pain of death, in the chaper at sheyirtzes chaveiro, a person does not have kapara until he actually asks mechila from his friend. Asking forgiveness from a friend is a big, big deal. Al kain tzar chavakim mechila mechaveiro azeza, you're going to have to ask for forgiveness. And when you appease the person feels it's sincere. It's not just one of those things like mass text. I hope anyone's mocking me if I did something wrong. Right? That's not necessarily appeasing the guy. Right? You come to the guy with a dozen donuts and say, you know, I feel bad. I really messed up. Would you please be mocking me? Okay, that's part of pious. So in that case, initial love, kima avon de benam lamakom, yasakana. Okay, so once you ask for mechila, then you just have to do tshuva with Hashem. Now here's the line where the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Saul Salanter had an issue. When it comes to speaking Lashon Hara, many times, right, the Lashon, actually the Pasuk uses in actually last week's parsha, week before, Arur Make Re'eo Baseser. Cursed is someone who hits his friend in private. Now, does that mean you punch a guy privately? You stab him privately? The Pasuk is referring to Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, many times, you're speaking behind someone else's back. So the whole nature of Lashon Hara, many times, is the victim doesn't know about it right away. So the Chafetz Chaim says, even in a case where the guy doesn't know, I spoke negative about someone else, and he got hurt because of it. It cost him a job. It cost him a shidduch. It cost him a chavrusa, a friend. So even if your friend doesn't know about this, tzarech legalos lo masha asa negdosh lo kedin, you have to tell him what I did wrong to you. And then to ask for forgiveness about this. I can stop here. The Chafetz Chaim is writing in the Sefer. If I spoke negatively about somebody, I hurt him privately. He doesn't know about it. In order for me to get mechila, look, I could klap al chait, I could fast, I could do all tshuva. That will only help in al mamakal, between the avera that I did vis-a-vis Hashem. But if I hurt another person, the only way to get forgiveness is to ask mechila. So if the guy doesn't know about it, comes the Chafetz Chaim and says, okay, so you have to come to him before Yom Kippur, tell me, I'm very sorry, I spoke bad about you. I said this and this about you. And then ask the guy to forgive you. If you do that, you get forgiveness. That's what the Chafetz Chaim does. Comes along Rabbi Saul Salanter. He's reading through the Sefer, judging if he should give his askama to the Sefer. And Rabbi Saul Salanter says, I'll read to you the middle paragraph. This is written by the Chafetz Chaim's own son. The Odea Kisha Chafetz Chaim Bal Rabbi Saul Salanter, Laharis Lo Sefer, wrote to Lakabi Brachim Menu. Rabbi Saul Omer Lo, Shuin Maskim in Psakazah. Rabbi Saul said he's not masking to this. The Amar, and this is what Rabbi Saul Salanter said to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chibishvil Shu wrote to Lizvados, because you want to get forgiveness, Ye Mutter Litsaris Chaveru Besiper Zeh. You could hurt a person now by telling it over to him. Rabbi Saul Salanter says, I understand you want to get Mechila, but so far the person hasn't gotten the direct hurt of hearing what you said about him. He knows something bad happened to him. But now that you're going to tell it to him, you know, I spoke Lashon Hara about you. Right now, you're drawing a dagger through his heart. Rabbi Saul Salanter says, you have no right to hurt another Jew just because you want to get mechila. And to which he said, that's it. I can't be maskim to the Sefer. But the Chafetz Chaim answered him back. The Chafetz Chaim had a retort. If you look over here, continuing on the piece there, Chafetz Chaim Meshavlo, Shamakor Rubeinu Yona. Look, I have a source, a Rishon. It's Rubeinu Yona. That's how the Chafetz Chaim's son tells over the story. He ends the volley with the Chafetz Chaim's retort. Now, this topic always fascinated me. You have a fight between the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Saul Salanter, and they didn't budge. The Chafetz Chaim took his position, he published the Sefer. He didn't, you know, this has been published many times after, he didn't retort it. He didn't take it back. Rabbi Sol, on the other hand, you're not getting a haskama. This is not. So, okay. But the Chavetz Chaim, if the Chavetz Chaim's comeback is, I have a raya from Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. So what was Rabbi Sol Salanter thinking? So let's go further. If you look further on the page, they bring from Rav Huttner. So Rav Huttner said that he heard b'shem the Rabbi Sol Salanter that the raya from the Shari Tshuva is not a raya. Because there's two different cases. I'll quickly read it. The Shari Tshuva is talking about a case of where the guy knows I spoke negatively about you. Where I, the victim, already know that you said something bad about me. I just don't know what you said. I know you said something very bad about me, and there are bad ramifications of it. I just don't know what you said. So there, the Shari Tshuva, which is the source the Chafetz Chaim has, would say you're allowed to fill in the blanks what you said and ask Mechila. Avol, ein raya shemutu lomer la'adam she'ini yodea b'chlal shemasaper dibo olav. Rishol Salanter says, Chafetz Chaim, look how you wrote your sefer. You didn't specify we're only talking about that case. You wrote your sefer in general. Chafetz Chaim seems to be mashma. I could go tap a guy on the shoulder. The guy doesn't know from anything. You know, I spoke Lashon Hara about you. Rabbi Sol Salanter says, you have no raya from Rabbeinu Yonah. There's a big difference. In the first case, where the guy heard that you spoke something bad about him, he already was hurt. He knows he got hurt. All you're doing is filling in the blanks. That's allowed. But in a case of where the guy doesn't know at all you said anything bad about him, when you're doing that, it's a fresh wound. You're stabbing him right now. You have no right to hurt another Jew just because you want to get mechila. I would say one other angle. Asking mechila could also be a selfish thing. I need forgiveness. I need you to be mochel me. But what does the victim need? He needs not to be attacked again. Maybe now for the first time that he knows about it. Rabbi Sol Salanter was so careful. Ben Amal Chavera. As I was walking to the shir, someone was hugging me. But what's going to be with the person's tshuva? How's he going to get tshuva? Okay. Right? Right? Not so simple. Yes. Very nice. You're not poshut. I'll give you another example. I think it's a nice example. Reb David gave me this as a mashal. Your son alone. And I spoke about my shver over Shabbos, hacking if the Chafetz Chaim agreed with it, not agreed with it. But there's a halacha, you know, a person is allowed to say Lashon Hara, lo to'alas, if there's a benefit. So let's say you know something, this would be a bad employee if you hire the person. But at the same time, you have some negative feelings towards the person. You're really only allowed to say something lo to'alas if you have the right kavanas. I'm saying this Lashon Hara about the other guy, not because I hate his guts. I'm saying it because I know it's beneficial to you. If I'm not doing it for the right reasons, I can't say it. Pashtos. That's how the Chafetz Chaim writes it. So Shai was raised, okay, let's say he is your enemy, but you know he's gonna, if he marries, it'll be a horrible shidduch. It'll be a bad business venture. So my father said he asked the Shai to Rabbi Yashav. Rabbi Yashav says you have a chiv to say it, and you'll burn. You have a chiyuv bein alma chaver, l'sama l'adam reyecha. You have to say over that incriminating thing about the person. Now, your kavana right now is the wrong kavana. Okay? For that, you're going to burn. You're doing the wrong thing. But you have to do that thing. Hilchos bein alma chaver comes first. L'sama l'adam reyecha. So to hear in the reverse. I need to get mechila. Okay? You want to be selfish? But you can't hurt another person. What's very interesting, if you look on the bottom there, it quotes Rav Aaron Cutler. I checked my phone, and he said Rav Henoch held the same way. But Rav Aaron's lashon is pretty stark. Rav Aaron Cutler paskins la halacha. What do you do even machlok as between b'sol salanter and l'chavetz chaim? He says you paskin like a b'sol salanter. The language that Rav Aaron Cutler used. Rav Yisroel Salanter Tano Palik. Rav Yisroel Salanter, Gemara uses that lashon, you know. Rav Meir Tano Palik is that Rav Yisroel Salanter was just head and shoulders above anyone else. Older generation. It was Gadol Hador. Is the machlokes between Rav Yisroel Salanter and the Chofetz Chaim, you go for Rav Yisroel Salanter. So practically speaking,
you've quoted everybody who's basically in one way or another a Talmud of Rav Yisroel Salanter. These are all Slabatka.
Correct.
Rav Aaron, Rav Hutner, Rav Yaakov, Rav David.
Oh, so you didn't see in the bottom.
Rav Shlomo.
The Chin Hora, right. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orba.
It's interesting that they all.
Yes, they all do take that path. But regardless of this particular point, I do think, you know, just to reflect back, especially today's the 90th Yahrzeit of the Chofetz Chaim, to appreciate and. That's why before I said the critique that Rabbi Sol Salanter said about the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, I first said the shvach, the praise of what he said. Rabbi Sol Salanter was so moved by what the Chofetz Chaim did. You know, he gathered his Talmidim around and says, okay, now I want every one of you to write Sfarim like that. Want to hear the sad news?
Nobody did.
The Chofetz Chaim was a yachid bedoro. He cared so much about Klal Yisrael. You know, they have these stories. The Chofetz Chaim wrote Sfarim to, you know, a guidebook for a soldier in the Russian army. He wrote a letter to Jews in America about Chol Shabbos. Wherever there was an issue, he tried to write a sefer, to write a letter at least, something to combat and to talk to anyone with different challenging situations. And the whole library of the Sfarim of the Chofetz Chaim, you know, the Mishnah Berurah, is one of the crowning achievements. But with it, you know, this Sefer Chofetz Chaim, you know, it's interesting. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a Sefer, and Mamash went town to town selling it, and it got around. But you know what? At the same time, these type of things, especially things that really fight the Yetzirah has a means of, like, destroying all these things. And, you know, even the learning of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim was, I would say, go back 30 years ago, was falling by the wayside. At the same time, in Eretz Yisrael and in America, organizations popped up in Eretz Yisrael. There's, I believe, this organization called Marpe Lashon. Dirshu got very involved. They published things. This Sefer is published by another organization that's involved with Shmiras HaLashon. There's a famous Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, which was founded by a wonderful person, Michael Rothschild, very close to Rabbi Shapiro. Shapiro gives shirim there all the time on the network. But all about what these really individuals, these are people, probably a handful of people, Manchester Rosh Hashiva, a handful of people are the ones responsible that today, Baruch Hashem, Sefer Chofetz Chaim is learned, I believe, in many, if not all, yeshivas. Here the yeshiva has a seder for the Bachram Learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Artsco recently published a beautiful 2-volume edition of Sefer Chofetz Chaim in English. It's such a wonderful thing. I have to give one more plug. They have what they call Chofetz Chaim Yomi. Learn a little bit on a daily basis. And the way it works is it actually starts on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Aleph Tishrei is the beginning of a cycle. It doesn't take long. You can finish the Sefer 3 times a year. So why don't you just join once? It'll take a third of a year. But it's a Sefer that, you know, Rabbi Luban just said, and I'll end with this line. He said, he quoted, I believe, one of the biographies he saw of the Chofetz Chaim, that, I forgot if he said it was by the Levaya or afterwards, one of the Gedolim got up there and said, today, Chof Dal Elul, for the rest of time, is a very special day. Lashon Yakir, Yusher, super special day. Because it's the Yahrzeit of the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim made a monumental impact on the entire Jewish world. And he said that anyone who has a shaychus, has a connection to the Chafetz Chaim, could tap in to that kedusha, that specialness the Chafetz Chaim has. Okay. We're lucky we decided to name yeshiva after him. We're part of such a wonderful institution. But really, anyone who picks up a sefer of the Chafetz Chaim to learn this, they're starting a new cycle in Rosh Hashanah. It's a short thing. If you want to learn the actual sefer inside, Art School has it in English now. But even if not, they have what they call lessons a day, short little pieces. It's a tremendous, tremendous chus. And Bezra Hashem, we should all be zocha. You know, we don't need, nowadays, I didn't say the lashon, we don't need Rabbi Sol Salant, but Lamaisa, Baruch Hashem, the sefer is makobol. And put for care, Rabbi Sol Salant, it didn't sound like he had a problem with any other sakim of the Chavetz Chaim. There's a lot to learn, and we should all be zocha to mi yishal Chavetz Chaim. Orech yamin l'ras tov. Thank you very much. Achsiva v'chasima tova. We'll be in touch if we're able to put together a shir for Erev Yom Kippur. But hatzlacha rabba. Achsiva v'chasima tova.